Welcome to Cut the Bull, an insightful podcast which addresses the news of the day and the cultural issues plaguing our society, bringing logic and context to these topics and discussing solutions too real for mainstream pundits. Now, here are your hosts, Charles Love, Shamika Michelle, and Wilfred Riley.
Hello and welcome to Cut the Bull. I am Charles Love, alongside my co-hosts, Shamika Michelle and Wilfred Riley. And our guest this week is Rhonda Ezell. She is the co-founder of Chicago Guns Matter. Rhonda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you guys for having me.
It is great to have you. And, you know, we record these and we book people in advance. You never know. You know the conversations are going to be good, but you don't know if it's going to be a timely topic. But this time we knew that no matter when we actually air the show, that it will be timely, because we're going to talk about guns, everything guns, gun laws, gun ownership, the Second Amendment, you know, what the government is trying to suppress and all that kind of stuff. And so we knew it would be timely, but even more so is recently the most recent shooting that is getting national attention is the shooting in Highland Park, Illinois. And you are from Chicago. So not only can you talk about the way these things are covered and things of that nature, you can talk about how it was covered locally where you were because you saw that. So I'm sure that will come up as well as other shootings and shooters and, you know, what's the similarities and differences between them. But I guess we should start by talking about how you got involved, not necessarily just getting involved into the freedoms and protecting gun rights, but how you got involved and interested in guns at all.
Oh, well, you know, in Illinois, there always been a FOIA card system in place for an individual to own a firearm.
And tell people what they are. I know, because I'm in Chicago. Well, most states don't have it, right?
Absolutely. It's only like four states left. It's a firearms owner identification card that we should not even have in place because it's a violation of the Constitution. It doesn't state anywhere in the Second Amendment that an individual should be paying fines and fees to the government to exercise an inalienable right. But here we are. And so back then, I want to say about 35 years ago, when I was a teenager, when I was old enough to get the FOIA card, I got it. I always told myself, you may not need it right now, but get it anyway. But it took years after that for individuals to try to break into my home. I had lost my health and ended up on life support, had to learn how to walk again and things like that. So I was dealing with the criminal element in the neighborhood. I didn't know these people, new around here. You know, you move around here, they're watching you, they watch everything you have. And so someone decided that they wanted to try to break in. And so, you know, I wasn't having it and I was ready for them. And so it led to me, you know how you join these organizations and you say, well, what am I paying for, right? So I reached out to an organization. I said, look, I saw on the news, this was kind of a cycle that happened right behind each other. I saw on the news that Mr. McDonald had won the right to own a gun in the home. And I was sitting there eating and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to need to do that because I just had to deal with these people trying to break in. And I'm not going. Like, that was my, you know, end game was, by any means necessary, I'm going to protect me and my family. And so I jotted down the information and I went to the class and the course and something happened there. Once I got to that class, you know, you pay in advance, you don't know what you're going to get. The guy said, okay, well, tomorrow we're going to go out to Dundee, Illinois. That's like 50, 60 miles outside of Chicago to do the range portion. Well, at that point in time, I was barely walking. You know what I'm saying? I had to learn how to walk again. So I made it out there, but it was a struggle. When I got back home, I called that organization. I said, well, this is what I had to go through. So I broke down the red tape and they was like, oh, it sounds like your rights violated. You want to sue the city? I'm like, I never dime to sue anybody, you know? And they were like, no, don't worry about it. Would you like to be a plaintiff? At that point in time, it took a while for me to evaluate things with my family. And then my son told me, like, mom, whatever you want to do, I'll support you. And so I just said, yes, let's sue them. And Ezell versus Chicago was born. And that's how I got into the nature of the gun community. I always owned a firearm as long as I could because, like I said, that FOIA card system that Illinois wants you to have a firearm, to have possession of a firearm, I've always had it. But it was a catch-22 because the city of Chicago had an ordinance in place where you cannot own a firearm.
Right, yeah. And Will, I know you got some inside knowledge growing up in the area too. So, you know, I just want to make sure, because, you know, people see this from Chicago, whatever their views on guns, they really don't get it really quickly about the Foyt and the training. So a lot of people talk about this. We need, even if they don't want to ban guns, you need to make people take a class. They need to take some training course. They need to do all this stuff. And a lot of reasonable people say that's totally fine. What she's saying is she couldn't do it in Chicago because there were no gun ranges and there were no places to go. Right. So you couldn't do it. You had to go. So they find a way when McDonald won that case, they had to go back and say, no. What are you trying to do? Because they're like, all right, we have to allow you to carry guns. And we weren't before, but we're going to make it so difficult for you to do it. It was kind of like a poll tax. They charged these fees. They made you do all this stuff. So they put things in place where very few people could actually exercise their rights. And that was squashed and they had to redo that. So there are very few places to shoot. I mean, I'm assuming I'm not there now that there still aren't, because when I was there, I had to go to right to the edge of the city, because you win these lawsuits and then people have to get up the money and then they make the red tape and they make it hard for you to do it. So that, and then the Foyt card was weird because it's not even having to pay this fee to own a gun. You needed it to go shopping for a gun, right? So if you just want to go to a gun shop and see if I want to use a gun, it's like, well, show me your Foyt card before you even touch the countertop, right? So absolutely. That was just a weird thing that most states don't have. But Will, what would you like to add about just that portion?
Yeah, I mean, so the Chicago gun laws, there are a couple different things here. First of all, I mean, I had my Foyt card when I was in Illinois. But first of all, almost everyone I knew when I was in Chicago, and this is true for hood kids, this is true for shopkeepers, so on, had a gun. Most of the guns, I guess, were just technically illegal. So Chicago has one of the highest rates of gun ownership in the country. The whole thing was just a joke. You essentially were making tax-paying citizens into criminals. And this was the case in Washington, D.C. This was the case in a lot of other cities. I recall when I was a kid in Chicago in the 80s, in D.C., which is kind of a friendly rival city of the Windy City, one of the city councilmen, African-American guy, got in trouble because he shot at a home invader from his hot tub with an unregistered gun. And nobody really thought of this as a big deal because so many people were armed. A relative would bring up a pistol from the South or something. But D.C. had even stronger gun laws than Chicago did. So technically, he'd committed a felony crime. Mm-hmm. And there were the kind of these two dialogues going on about this, one just between people in barbershops and so on. And the other, what was actually going on in the papers, how this guy would be charged and so on down the line. But kind of redirect there. What was the question?
That was just what I wanted. I wanted to know
what did I think about this? I mean, so that was point one. I mean, yeah, what the Foyt card system was a thing in Chicago. The city was very heavily armed, but it was hard to do much of anything. It was hard to legally purchase or use a gun.
Yeah. You know, in the 80s, they did have at one point in time where you could own the firearm. But in the mid 80s,
83, I think
he had the embattled Alderman Ed Burke. He put forth something in City Hall and said that you can't have guns. So at that point, they stopped renewing the licenses for it. Mm-hmm. And that was in the 80s. And so therefore, it took decades, 2010, when Mr. McDonald sued the city of Chicago for the right to own the gun in the home. And that was a Supreme Court victory. And so that's where the change started.
Right.
Yeah. The thing is, though, that all the guns that had been present in the homes before that, I mean, those were never seized. And I mean, right. Things may have changed, but you could go down to 63rd by Jokes and Notes and buy a gun. So, I mean, it was the whole thing was kind of a complex joke. The reality, though, was that if you were a law-abiding taxpayer who didn't want to sit in jail for 3 months on a pistol charge, it was an extraordinary problem. It was just another burden of living in the city. In addition to worse schools and higher taxes, it was also very different, very difficult to arm yourself, very difficult to protect yourself. And that's true of a lot of big cities, as all you guys know.
It was all political. It was all political.
Shamika, what do you think about in general, just this push? Before we even get into, because they look at mass shootings as totally different conversations, so we should address it differently. But just the push to stop people from owning guns and suppressing their rights, but because they're doing it with positive intentions.
I think it's wrong. As I listen to you, I understand more clearly about constitutional carry. I'm trying to figure out why isn't the right to bear arms the right of everyone in the United States, you know, that live under the Constitution. it doesn't make sense to me. I know for myself, I feel a lot better that I actually have a gun in the house. You know, I've been robbed at gunpoint before in a home where I thought I was safe braiding hair. And maybe if we had a firearm there, it would have turned out differently. You know, he ended up being murdered after that, but he probably, you know, could have gotten murdered that day.
Right.
So, I could have did it earlier.
Yeah, you know, since that was his fate anyway. You know, I just feel like we should have the right to protect ourselves in our home. Like, we should not be afraid. I have children here. Although they're older, like, I should be able to defend myself if someone decides they're going to trespass into my home and come to do something that, you know, they should not do. I don't get it. I've known of too many people to be even killed with home invaders, people to be robbed at gunpoint. I definitely believe everyone should have the right, including felons. I think about my kid's dad. He is a convicted felon, but he hasn't been in trouble in almost 20 years. He should be able to legally carry a gun. He lives in a nice home, in a nice area, very expensive. He should have the right that if somebody tries to break in while he's there, while our children are there, to defend himself, regardless of what he did as a teenager or even 20 years ago. So I'm just understanding this more.
I agree.
And I just feel like I'm learning a lot over the last couple years about gun rights.
Well, I agree with you, Shamika, because once an individual has been convicted of a felony, if the government can reinstate their voting rights, they need to be able to reinstate their Second Amendment rights. But again, it's a political pawn that is being gyrated back and forth between Republicans and Democrats, as if, you know, the Second Amendment is for one group of said people and it's not for another. This is our political rhetoric. If you can have these prisoners, this guys that's locked up now, they were going to the prison having them to vote while they were there. So if they can cast their vote, and once they paid their debt to society, then yes, their right to self-defense should be reinstated. I agree with that. I mean, according to the Second Amendment, the Second Amendment was clearly written and put in place to keep our government in check, to prevent our government from committing tyranny against its citizens. You don't get to pick and choose who can and can't defend themselves.
Well, I think that's part of the bigger problem, I think, is how it's looked at. So you see a lot of the people, the gun control advocates, and you want to try to be fair and say, well, they see all these people getting shot. And they want it to stop. And if we just didn't have these guns, it wouldn't happen. Now, we can have, you know, there are arguments on both sides. You know, you got John Lott's argument, there are more guns, less crime, and the people who oppose that and think that that's wrong and it's bad science. But one thing they can't seem to get around is that pesky constitutional piece, right? But you hear them, you look at articles or you look at social media and see the debates. And they like to compare all these things to it, right? Now that this abortion thing came up, there's like, well, you want to do this to the body, but you want X with a gun. Whenever there's something else, it's like, but you want these people to have guns. What's the big deal? Then why won't you give them these laws and these rights? Well, you know, it seems that they're lacking an understanding in that this is the one thing that's written into the Constitution. Now, there's a process to change the Constitution, or whether I agree you should change it or not, doesn't matter. There's a process. You can change it, right? But until the time in which you change it, you can't then say, we want it changed. We don't have the votes to change it. So we're just going to pass laws to ignore it or pass laws to go against it. You can't do that, right? So they're saying that, well, you shouldn't have a gun, but the Constitution says you can have one. But it shouldn't. We should repeal it. Okay, but we have it. So can I have my gun now? And they're still just saying, no, well, we're just going to put these taxes. We're going to do FOIA. We're going to do this. We're going to move the gun. Gun ranges out and things of that nature. And I don't think they really understand the argument, right?
No, they don't. These are the same people that are making these arguments from a handheld computer that did not exist when the Second Amendment was written. These are the people that don't understand that the reason that they're free today to even voice their opinion was because of guns. Mm-hmm. We went to war and created this country. But again, when you miss in history, you miss in civics, you want to dibble and dabble and tit for tat, and you know, you want to play the them versus us, and you shouldn't have this. Well, we didn't have a mail service then. We had a man on a horse riding through the woods, bringing letters back and forth. But yet, you know, you have this handheld iPhone that's $1,000 that you can probably send a man to moon with, because they did it with a computer back in the day that didn't have that much information in it as these phones have today. But yet people have a tendency to forget that this Constitution prevents our government from government overreach. This isn't about our personal vendetta or how we feel or what we think should happen. They fought for freedom. They won and they made a statement. This is what the country is going to be like.
Right. Well, you make a good point. Will the our resident historian can talk about that, because I think you were alluding to this fact where people will say, well, the founders put the framers put this in the Constitution, but they didn't know about AR-15s and they didn't know about an AK and they didn't know about machine guns. Well, I've made this point a couple of times when forced to. It's like they don't think, well, obviously the way the Constitution is written, they had tremendous foresight. But beyond that, no one was walking around with machine guns, but the term existed at their time. People were dabbling with creating guns that could get, that can fire multiple rounds, right? You know, they might be done through a crank, but right, you could fire multiple rounds. So because it wasn't there, they could see around them that in about 50 years or so, this capabilities would be there. You know, they could have said, and unless it can shoot in a certain amount of time or whatever, they didn't put parameters around it, just like they didn't do with the other constitutional rights, because they said it's for you with your freedom to control how you do this, but these are the things you have the right to own. So talk about that, the comparison to the guns we have today, and that's the reason why we shouldn't be able to carry them.
Yeah, I mean, I can jump on that. I think you did a good lead in there, though. I mean, just the... I think that it's pretty obvious to most social scientists, at least most of us that lean right, that the Constitution isn't limited to the shit that existed in 1776. Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I will say the weapons tech that existed, just as a geek, talking to another one, I think, but the weapons tech that existed almost at the edge of 1800, when we were fighting the great Indian nations, we were getting it on with the French and the British, was a lot more advanced than most people think. I mean, one of the things we used against the tribes, the Zulus and the Iroquois and so on, is called the Maxim gun. I mean, it's basically a machine gun. You had this rotating brass drum with hundreds of rounds in that fat boy. I mean, that's a lot more impressive than the 100-round drum you'd see on any modern weapon, for example. Absolutely. And that was something that a private citizen could own. And there were, in fact, lawsuits that focused specifically on that. I mean, they had cannons in this era. They had, you know, blunderbusses that shot bullets as big as your fist. And these were things that if you were what was called a yeoman, you were a head of household, there were many individual citizens that owned these. When you talk about militia companies, a militia is not, in fact, an army. That's something people forget. Right. That's the organized citizens in a district, just the tough fighting men and more than a few women who have their weapons at home. So all of the cannons and cannonades and gatlings and so on that went along with the militia, these are things people just had out in their barn. So first of all of that weapons tech existed. It's to some extent how we settled this country against some of the greatest warriors in history. So they were very aware of this. And yeah, they were very aware that that would progress further. But you're right. Every advance that is protected in the law, I mean, the idea that the right of free speech extends to typewriters, or that it extends to computers, that it extends to televisions, that represents an understanding that the Constitution doesn't just protect what we had at the time it was written. So yeah, I mean, that's not a very solid argument. There are some interesting legal arguments here. I mean, like the line, a well-regulated militia, you know, being necessary,
but you know, people,
the right to bear arms will not be infringed. Mm-hmm. Rhonda, it looks like you're gonna jump in on this one, because that is kind of the classic argument that the right to bear arms is limited. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say, well, technically, are there some limits on this? I don't think so. But the argument that tech doesn't change, the argument that no one ever expected that guns would evolve beyond muskets, I mean, that's a really weak argument.
Yeah,
But Rhonda, what were you going to say? Because it looked like you were going to smack that one down.
No, I was going to say what people fail to understand is back then the militia was regular people. Yeah. They went and got those people and formed an army to fight. It wasn't just military. It was, hey, you, we need that body. Come here. We need you to fight.
All right.
And so when they say a well-regulated militia, they're talking about people that are trained enough to go in and perform duty. This is not saying you have to join the military.
It's not government at all. And I think one of the best examples when people get into that, you know, they want to talk about how bad the country is. I would say one of the best examples of a well-regulated militia are the brothers who came, but mostly brothers, but the brothers and sisters who came back from the war and were mistreated by the white man after World War II. And they decided they were going to get together and protect their neighborhoods, right? So when the Klan rolled through, they would all say, all right, it's time for us to be up on the rooftop. The people who surrounded King, right? That was a militia, right?
You had those people, you had the Deacon of Defense, you had the Robert F. Williams.
Robert Williams, yeah.
You had the Black Panther Party and so on and so forth. So, you know, at the end of the day, again, people want to try to break things down as if they got a solid solution to what it actually meant. No, it says exactly what it says. And what we got last week with the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association and B. Bruin case, they made it clear that it is original text of the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so now people are going to find themselves angry because a lot of things are going to be overturned. But it goes back to people not understanding, but angry because they don't want firearms in this country. The easier thing for me to tell you to do is pack your bags and move.
There's a great point about this that actually Charles has made before on this show, that there's this disconnect on kind of the political left, where on the one hand, people will say this country is a wicked dictatorship. They're trying to take our rights away as women, as Black men, so on down the line. And on the other hand, we should give up our weapons right now. Like, we should trust the government. Only the government should have weapons. Only the killer cops should have weapons. I think that's nonsensical to a crazy degree. Like, I lean right, but I'm pretty pro-Black. And I think especially as a minority man, you'd have to be absolutely insane to give all your arms to the U.S. government. Like, I'm part Indian as well. Like, we've seen how that worked. Like, if you're in a large, competitive, diverse country, I mean, you need to keep your armaments at home on the wall. That's insane.
Well, we'll just
Brazil, India, up. Whatever. Like, you've seen what could happen. So that's what a militia means.
We already know what could happen.
Right.
We've already all fought each other. I mean, it's not hypothetical. The last Indian raid was like 1918. So an armed society is a polite society to some extent. There are just some horrible downsides.
But you just teed it up, though. Shamika, you can get back in here. But I think, you know, looking at the screen, everyone will look at us and say, wow, everybody up there is Black. You know, Israel, you know, he just gave us the native shout out. But, you know,
I'm ambiguous.
And I'm extra Black today. Can y'all notice that I have a tan?
All right. So
looks like Eve.
So it's funny that. Party, they try everything. They try, well, the founders wouldn't have known that there were machine guns. They mean the militia. And then what's the next thing they want to hit? Well, they didn't want Black people to have guns anyway. And Black, and then they flip, but then they say, you know, this is an anti-Black thing because, what did Joy Reid famously say? I mean, I'm sorry, the other crazy Joy. There's so many crazy Joy. Joy Behar. Well, just wait until the coach get guns and then they'll ban them. It's like, Black people don't own guns because every Black person I know owns guns. I mean,
they know.
So, Shamika, talk about how, in an effort, they do this with everything. They're doing it with abortion, whatever. When they have a wedge issue and they're trying to move it, let's go get the Blacks. Let's get the Blacks angry about it. Let make the Black people think that they don't really want you to have a gun on the one side, and then say, you shouldn't have guns because you don't really want other people to have guns, and then drag you into the fight to make even that a race thing. So can Blacks own guns and do Blacks own guns, Shamika?
Most Blacks that I know do own guns.
And some of them own them legally.
Exactly. Even people I'm surprised was able to get them. Like, what are you doing with a gun? You're nuts.
We're going to get to that, but go.
But, You know, it just bothers me, number one, because like you said, you'll have Black people talking about how terrible the government is and how you can't trust the government and how the government killed Martin.
And maybe we're still slaves, because you might have a Black person hypothetically saying we're still slaves.
Right. Happy Back to Slavery Day, you know. But then, on the other hand, want us to just trust the government so much. And I'll see them saying, what do you need a gun for? It's like, are you kidding me? I don't even understand how you're asking that as a Black person in America, when you have heard about the same history or learned about the same history that I have. That's, it's almost like when, you know, I have a great uncle who, I shouldn't have said that. I was too detailed. But anyway,
I know a guy.
I have a family member who won't be around other family members that are not vaccinated. And this same family member, I remember him telling me stories, because he's elderly, about things that happened in the past and how the government did this or the government did that. Like, it would seem to me that even if you believe you should be vaccinated, you should understand why someone would be hesitant, simply because you've been the one telling us all of these stories of how things have happened. So I just kind of get a little bit annoyed when I see Black people doing that, and they do it on purpose when they bring us into all of these voter suppression, women's rights, everything, gay rights, everything is Black, Black, Black. Because they know they can pull on our heartstrings. I believe that a lot of times we are irrational and overly emotional. That is just so easy to do. And because it works, they continue to do it, regardless of what the situation is. If they can get Black people emotionally involved in it, they're going to do it, because you have Blacks that are overly emotional, and then you have the whites with the white savior complex. It's like, oh, this is bad for the Blacks. We better step in and help, you know. So they're going to always do it.
Well, Shamika, maybe they're telling them that they don't need a gun, because all they need to do is call their friendly neighborhood cops, because, you know, the police officers, because you know how much they respect and trust them. So as long as they're around, you know, just call them.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, because, you know, the Black community is so easy. They're so easy. They've been mentally manipulated, and they jump on any bandwagon. Any. I had to ask one time on social media. I don't know if you can use the word on here, but I said, well, D, you know, damn, is there anything that doesn't disenfranchise the Black community? Everything disenfranchises the Black community, but yet you voted for Black folk for 50 years and haven't seen a change since you were born. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a problem with that, because you can't lie to me. I'm too old. I'm not better. You can't trick me in my grave. It's not going to happen. The notion that, oh, you Black, you shouldn't have no gun. And at the same token, you telling me that President Donald Trump is a racist, a white supremacist. Well, how am I supposed to protect one's life and loved ones against such if you disarm me in the same breath?
Right. But they're just going to say that, well, you can't beat the government anyway, because their guns are bigger. So why fight?
So they say.
They would say they haven't seen my guns, right?
I mean, we have an incompetent president. He doesn't even know he's president. So what are we talking about?
Right. Well, I guess now we have to talk about the other elephant in the room. You mentioned the what you've been working on. And I talked about at the beginning of the show, the mass shooting that happened in Highland Park. So let's get into that. So I want to talk about how the media covers it, what you think they get right and wrong. And then what should we do? Because this is the one time the gun anti-gun, you know, gun control advocates have something. That's why it's weird. They eerily love when it happens. You know, you're talking about lives being ruined and ended. But in a sense, they're happy. They're like, yes. Now, you know, they're salivating over it, because it's something that they can use. But it is a problem, right? We have more of them than we've had before. They're bad. We all want them to end. What do you do outside of just taking everybody's guns and repealing the Second Amendment?
Well, that's not going to happen. Neither of the two of those are going to happen. First and foremost, Highland Park has had every ban in place that they speak of right now. They have an AR-15 ban. They have a magazine capacity ban. They have red flag laws. They have the FOID card system as well. Again, gun control is not the answer. You cannot legislate away evil. Those laws are on the books right now, and they did not prevent an individual from choosing to plan out an evil attack. Again, I say this countless times, but they like shootings at like Highland Park. It was covered for 48 hours and to today, they're still talking about it. But yet the night before, we had a mass shooting within the city of Chicago where five people were shot. But see, you can't campaign on gangbangers. You can't campaign on gang violence. But then we had the Highland Park shooting, and it was plastered all over the country.
VP.
The next day, we still had a second mass shooting just yesterday in Chicago. Nothing said. The media doesn't reach out to us. They don't like a voice like mine. They don't want to hear from this Black woman because you can't spoon feed me anything. You know, they don't want that educated, smart woman that speaks from the heart, that powerful voice that's going to tell you the truth. Again, Nancy Rotering, or whatever her name is, the mayor of Highland Park, I sat right next to her in that meeting, in that courtroom, wherever we were in Deerfield, when she lied about, oh, well, I took on this organization and I won. And I said, Nancy, you're lying. You did not. So, you know, I'm going to check you on right then and there when you say something and lie to the general public, because, again, all you're trying to do is put forth this gun control agenda that doesn't work. This isn't even about stopping the violence. What it's about is dismantling the Second Amendment so they can sell this country out to China. You better know the underlay for the overplay, or you're going to find yourself in another space where you don't want to be, and that's going to be in the ground.
So what do you say if they say, well, okay, the gun laws aren't being enforced properly, or they're not strict enough, or they don't work? Well, if we just took those evil ARs and there were no semi-automatic, no, they wouldn't say that. If there were no automatic rifles, they call them automatic. So if we took all the automatic rifles and they were all gone, then you couldn't buy one. And then we're all good. No more mass shootings. And you say?
I would say you a fool and you lying. That's how you're going to take them. With what? Have you seen our government running this country? I'm here to check and see how many guns you got.
Yeah, I'm not even sure most police officers would do
it. Who's in charge of what? Now, let's keep it real here. Right. You cannot think that America is going to lay down and die because someone got shot. Guess what? I came home yesterday, and there was a shooting right outside, like down the street. I posted some pictures yesterday. I got off the bus, and I stepped off, and voila, it was a ton of police officers. I didn't have a clue that what was going on. Yet and still, there was 20 evidence markers. There was a cat all across the red line. There were police officers everywhere. I had to walk a whole city block around, peeped in the alley and saw more activity just to get home. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to stop. It's not going to end. Again, this is political rhetoric. They know right. that. But ask them this. Are they willing to get rid of their security detail that protects them and their family and their loved ones? Because they act as if they're more important than we are, and they're not.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Well, the other issue too is, you know, you talked about the difficulty in confiscating if you wanted to confiscate. I don't think they'll ever get to that, even if they wanted to push other laws. But there's a bigger issue. It's they're so focused on the way it looks, which it looks horrible, and I get that, that they ignore that the majority of these shootings aren't done with ARs. Forget about, we know that almost none of the regular shootings are, it's like really low. But even in the mass shooting, it's still in the 60-70 percentile that are done with handguns. No one's really talking about handguns because we know they really want the handguns too. You just got to come for the rifle first. It's like, we really want to get rid of all the religion, but we come for the Christians first because they're the big boys. But don't, trust me, we don't like you Jews and Muslims either, right? And the Jews and Muslims are just like, not our problem, I'm not a Christian. They don't see it. It's the same thing. It's like, you really think these people are so anti-gun that they only want rifles? It doesn't even make sense, right, Will?
That's what they want. They want to utilize this for political gain and nothing more. You know, we see it all the time. Every time there's a mass shooting, they somewhere tap dancing.
Yes.
They know that they can come out and throw the sparkles and sprinkles and have a party and say, oh yeah, we finna get this. But again, understand the verdict that we just got from the Supreme Court. No matter what they pass, it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we just got a verdict, a decision last week.
Right. Well, I'm enjoying the recent Supreme Court, if only on kind of own the libs grounds. I mean, you know, for the past, really, I mean, some 60, 70 years, I mean, one of the things that's really advanced kind of the Democratic policy agenda, and we can debate abortion, but things like FACI, for example, affirmative action that were massively unpopular. I mean, those have mostly come down through the courts. And I mean, now you're kind of seeing the reverse. I mean, you're seeing the court go against Chevron deference, for example, like bureaucracy making law, stuff nobody likes. And you're seeing this just kind of frantic panic from that political far left. Like, how could they do this? What kind of monsters would even consider doing something undemocratic like this? And there's an element of humor to it. I mean, in terms of the mass shooting thing, I think a point Rhonda made is so important, and it's something we don't say enough in this country. Like, risk exists in reality. Like, if you look at the number of people that are killed in kind of rifle-based mass shootings annually, even I feel like an asshole saying this, but it's about 400 people a year. Like, at a certain level, we're going to mourn each one of those deaths, but we're not going to try to confiscate going door to door. What is it? 50 million modern sporting rifles to stop that level of death. I mean, we're not going to put an end to the shooting sports industry, half of hunting. We're not going to allow whatever that number of rapes would be that are going to be prevented by ARs every year to prevent that level of death. And it would be ridiculous for us to do so. The whole idea of just one life, when you look at it, is an evil idea. We saw this under COVID-19, where the whole country fucking panicked, excuse the language. I mean, but we knew early on that the average COVID victim was 82. And like the huge majority of healthy young men and women announced, like, I mean, my job is reading data, like they would shop for work for the seniors in their life. But we still said no. And we did things like shut down grade schools or make those kids that were allowed to attend go to recess or go to school dances with two masks over their face. And the idea was, if we lose even one person, that would be too many. You can't live like that. You can't have every healthy 10-year-old sitting outside in Chicago winter with two masks on, because theoretically somewhere some sick, overweight 82-year-old could die. It doesn't make any sense. It's the same thing here. But Charles's point is also correct. Make no mistake, the overall goal here, AR-15s aren't the primary problem even when it comes to mass shootings. Even if you look at those 80 mass shooting deaths a year or those 500 rifle-based deaths a year, 400, most of those don't come from AR-15. So like, once you get the first bully out of the room, they're going to come for the second. Like the moment modern sporting rifles are off of the scene, I mean, deer rifles are going to become sniper rifles. Like, I go out for deer in the fall, and I'm very aware that like a 30-06 is what killed Kennedy. It's a pretty impressive weapon. So it's going to be the next thing. What do you need that for? Why can't you get closer to the animal? What kind of crappy hunter are you? Use a bow. So it's the same thing. The goal is a disarmed populace with like Scottish style air guns. And we have to say no to that. That's really what this comes down to. So I favor just saying no right at the top.
Right. That's what I would say. Shamika, and one other, and before I get to, I mean, we do want to get to like, what can we do about it? What things can we do and what the mental illness play? But one last piece about that is that there's another factor, Shamika. And it's like, another thing you get, so we're going down the things that we hear, right? We hear militia, we hear the types of weapon, we hear black. Another one we hear, though, is this is the one that gets me, and I, you know, I'm not as good as you and Will, and I don't tweet as much. The ones that get me is when they say stuff like, only in America, these things happen nowhere else, only in America. The reason that one gets me, though, is not that America has more people. America has a gun culture that other places don't have. So yes, it does happen way more often in America than other places. But it's the elitism of, we're American, even the poor, even the slaves like Leslie Jones. But we don't listen to other people's news because we're America first, so we don't know what's going on. And, you know, Shamika and I were talking earlier, we were talking about some of these things. So I don't even, I'm gonna test Rhonda. Rhonda knows all guns, but she's so focused on what's going on. Did you all know, obviously you heard about before Highland Park, probably the biggest, you know, mass shooting of the year was the school shooting in Texas, right? Did you all know, and I know most of the listeners and viewers don't know this, though, but there was a mass shooting in Mexico that day. Mm-mm. Like 11 people got killed, 8 women. Somebody just went in a bar and gunned up people in Mexico. Exactly 7 days later, I want to say 20 people were killed.
Wow.
Right. And we don't hear people talking about the 200 people that got killed in Ethiopia like 4 days ago. It's literally, you know, there are knives attacks in China, there are knives attacks in London, there's bombings in churches. They're literally trying to get rid of all of the Christians in like Egypt and Sri Lanka and places like that. So really, it's just a matter of not that only in America. It irks me because really, and I'm a pro-American guy, right? But it's the, what you're really saying is I only pay attention to America. That's what you're really saying, right, Shamika?
That's true, because I was seeing some of the articles that you sent earlier and I had no clue. I didn't hear anything about Mexico. And I can honestly admit, I don't really care a lot that, you know, that happens outside of America. But it is interesting. Right,
but the argument even is, don't you care about those people? I'm not saying that, but it's like you're saying it doesn't happen anywhere. And I'm like, give me an example where somebody got more than 5 people got shot in another country an hour before that one?
Right.
Go to the border of Mexico and see dead people there right now. We'll go to the Mexico border and it's a shootout happening. So Nico,
we're just talking about people falling off the wall. They die.
I actually just pulled this up. If you go, there's a website, theglobaleconomy.com, I used to use when I was in business. In the North American sector of the world, not to go through every one of these countries, but the USA has the second lowest murder rate. There are 18 countries in our sector.
That's a 10 in Latin America, right?
Yeah, but I mean, Latin America is crazy, but you can't compare us with our diversity of brothers, rednecks, recent Mexican immigrants to like Norway.
And population, right.
Yeah, but if you compare us to our peers, like we're between Canada and Bermuda, which is about what you'd expect. Their countries above, their countries below. But like in the North American zone, number one is El Salvador for murders and mass shootings. 61.8 murders per 100,000 people per year. The last country is like one of the island paradises. But we are out of 18 countries, we fall 17th. And these are like civilized countries. Like one is Jamaica. I mean, you've got Mexico on here, Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, Canada, Barbados. So, I mean, when you compare us,
in these places,
they're very violent. They're very violent because they kill their the government over there. They kill those people on a daily basis. You have the drug cartels, the gang cartels, all of that money flowing over there. You're not going to stop those people from feeding their families. And that's why they're so vicious and violent.
Yes,
and they're way more violent than America.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard of Jamaicans beheading women in the street simply because they denied their advances.
But like, Jamaica's a diverse country. I mean, mixed of blacks, whites. I mean, if you look at Jamaica, Jamaica's 57 murders per 100,000 people per year. So there's not a point there. I mean, many of my friends have been to Jamaica like it. It's just America is 5 murders per 100,000 per year. Baltimore is like 45. So yeah,
and that's another thing. If you took out certain say, if you were able, all right, we can play this game because we got 330 million people and these other countries only have 40 or 50. We want to take out, you know, not even the whole cities. We want to take out 5 neighborhoods in Baltimore, Chicago, LA, New Orleans, Dallas, I mean, DC or whatever, and show me what the numbers are. I mean, and in Canada, it's so vast, right? It's just different. So I'm not saying that it's not a problem. I'm not minimizing the problem. I'm not tit for tat. It's just when you have this elitist who's like, well, no one else in the world would they kill an innocent child except for here. Well, who do you think is trafficking people?
Right.
You know, in Chicago,
you took out the hood and Appalachia, like 12 districts. I mean, America would probably be number one on this list.
We'd be Norway.
We can criticize us, but it's important. Like when you look at like Mexico, Canada, Jamaica, just normal places, we're like number two. Come on. There's an incredible amount of hate that's directed at America that you get nowhere else on earth. That's an industry here. It's not an industry in Mexico or Canada or Jamaica.
That's true.
You know, so, even our city is not even in the top 10. if you want to be truthful about murder per capita.
Right.
But, you know, again, being in the political eye, in the political arena, the tit for tat on a daily basis for decades and decades, being a corrupt system, they're going to always point to the violence to make their point. You know what I'm saying? That's just more rhetoric, more political talking points. But, you know,
so what do we do, though? We do have a problem with these, you know, like you want to stereotype. They want to stereotype Black men and say Black men of a certain age in certain neighborhoods have a tendency, as though they have a propensity for violence. And they tend to be in gangs. They tend to sell drugs. They tend to do that. Okay, well, I'm 18-year-old white boy, so.
Absolutely, we do nothing. There's nothing to do. I'd rather live a dangerous freedom than a socialist safety any day. But that's all. Understand that you are responsible for your own safety and don't allow these people to trick you into your grave. Violence is violence. This, here's a prime example. Chicago has been a violent place since the days of Al Capone. Murder, mayhem with the mob, right? Since the 1902 or something, whatever they were doing. We had the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. We had mobs all over New York, all over this country, murdering people every day. And yet they want to nitpick and point fingers. That's just an agenda to try to destroy and break down the fabric of America. If you don't like it here, pack your bags and move around. It's that simple.
Well, I will say this. You talk about that the ban between the ban, the handgun ban in the virtual complete ban in 83 and, you know, the McDonald decision in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
To the people who listen to you and listen to us and say right wing nut job, blah, 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 just gun loving nuts. Taking the guns will solve the problem. They must understand there was a blackout. There was a ban in Chicago. And from 1990 to 1995, there were nearly 900 murders. That was the average of murders a year, somewhere around 880 per year was the average. The lowest number of murders from the ban to today, the years with the lowest number of murders in Chicago from 1983 when they banned guns, not just ARs, handguns, couldn't own a gun,
right,
1983 to 2010. The lowest number of murders were 2011, 2013, and 2014. Get that? Lowest numbers were three the next year and 3 years after they allow people to buy handguns. So let's be honest, you know, the scientists here, the numbers guys as Will, he can tell me that it does not prove what John Locke says, that more guns means more crime. But it also, you can't not take that information and say there's a guaranteed correlation to allowing people to buy guns means murders are going to go up. Right, because we know the numbers say that until, you know, Laquan McDonald and then George Floyd, the murders went down. The murders didn't spike in Chicago until 2016. Right? That's not allowing people to have handguns. That's Laquan McDonald. That's the other McDonald.
Here's the problem. Here we have political powers to be that hate each other. Right? And when there's an arrest in Chicago, the mayor and the superintendent of the police department, okay, you can have the police department that arrests the individual. He'll go to court. He'll get a slap on the wrist because the state's attorney, Kim Fox, and Larry Lightfoot is into it with each other. And she has the backing of the governor as well as the state's attorney, who said that we would give y'all concealed carry if you carve out Chicago and Cook County just as racist as all outdoors. But here we are. Then on this side, you have a mayor who they want to oust. Okay, and they already have who they want to replace her with. So damn your vote.
Right.
Hear me again. This is what I'm talking about. These are criminals that have a background long as your leg, and yet they walk free. And then you'll see a write-up about it. Oh, this guy just shot and killed somebody last month. Why is he on the street? Okay.
Yeah, you make.
You
make an important point.
Problem.
Because
this is real.
It doesn't matter what gun laws you pass when the people who are
committing the crime
to enforce them, like Alvin Bragg in New York, like Gascon in L.A., who just say, well, I'm just not going to prosecute people. So what happens is the intersectionality and the race focus that kind of butts up against the anti-gun movement. And it's the same people. So like, what do? So we hate guns. We want to pass all the gun laws we can. Gun, la, 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 take. Then when a young Black man has a gun with the serial number filed out, well, we also don't want Blacks in jail, right? So then they just confiscate the gun and then knock down the charges on the guy, and he just goes to get another gun. So you just let him shoot on the street, right? And the proof is, you can say whatever you want about me and my views and all this stuff. He's making this stuff up. Not again. But watch the news. All you got to do is watch the local news in your major city. The shooting happens. A couple days go by. They're bragging about they caught the guy, which is good because he's a violent criminal. And then they give you his background. This is his 17th arrest and his fifth gun charge in the last 3 years. And you think, if you have any kind of sense, you think, 17 arrests, 5 gun charges. We don't like guns. Why isn't he in jail? Because we don't want to put people in jail. So if we're not going to put people in jail anyway, what's the point of passing the law? It is to scare. It is to scare the people who are law-abiding people into just following the law anyway. Because I really don't think this is fair, but I'm a law-abiding citizen, so I'm just going to give you my gun. That's their hopes. And
no, it's not that. It's to make the people that are anti-gunners feel safe. They want to say that they did something. We had a shootout in the middle of broad daylight, and the state's attorney said that they were mutual combatants.
Right, mutual combatants. I like that. That was probably my favorite argument ever.
Really?
Right. Mutual combatants.
These are feel-good measures.
Nobody charged.
No one is going to be safe. You can feel safe all day long. You can feel safe if you stay in the house.
But you're not actually.
But when you go to the grocery store, it might go down.
Right.
So then, you know, that 911 call, you may not get the opportunity to place that call. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So understand that you are responsible for your own safety. I know here, 90% of the crime is gang related. Okay. But then you have that percentile of people that going to do that carjacking because they need their car to do that drive-by. You see what I'm saying? It's all connected.
Right. So you can still get shot. So lastly, what are your thoughts? I think I know your thoughts, but what are your thoughts on the red flag laws?
It's a violation of the individual's right to self-defense. I mean, you're going to call in and tell, let's say your ex or a family member you no longer get along with. Now they know you were a gun owner.
Or a liberal.
You ain't loaning them no money no more, so they going to call in on you.
Right.
You have crimes, right. You're going to end up going to court, paying fines and fees to the government again, mm-hmm. to prove yourself innocent, and you haven't done anything.
Right.
So, see, that happens with CPS.
What'd you say, Shemika?
You know, gun owners, again, stop letting people know that you have firearms. Then they can't call in on you.
Yeah. I was saying that happens with CPS a lot as well, you know, where family members will use it against someone because they're mad or because someone didn't do what they wanted them to do. Then they call in and say, I think that, you know, I suspect child abuse. And then you some of these innocent parents through the ringer for no reason, simply because they wouldn't loan boo-boo $20.
I think that's probably the biggest issue with the red flag law, though. I mean,
just failed in Highland Park, though.
Right. That's true, too. Right. That the man co-signed for the FOIA car.
That was law, though. That was the law. He can do that.
Right.
He couldn't dictate that his son was going to do something stupid. Right. But again, you're not going to be my child and threaten to kill the family, because that's where we're going to end that night. You might have to take a ride to the emergency room. You're not threatening nothing up here. Let me just keep going on, because that's what the problem is. Remember them shows back in the day? My 5-year-old run the house, my 6-year-old be beating on me. No, none of that.
Right.
Again, when that boy was arrested, when they came to their house and they took those knives because he said, I'm going to kill my family, they didn't file a complaint. So therefore, there was nothing in the system to say that he was a threat.
Right.
Right. Again, nothing in the system. So then 2 months later, dad, who was the failed candidate that ran against Nancy Rotary for mayor, he lost. Okay, I'm going to sign for your FOIA card. He can do that. That's part of the law. But that's he know his son was planning something in advance?
Right.
I don't think he knew he was planning something.
But he knew
he knew he was a little bit off.
Yeah, he knew he should have had guns.
Let's be real with this. You know what I'm saying? But none of us can dictate when somebody going to wake up tomorrow and decide something. But this was well-planned, structured out situation like all the rest of the mass shooters that are hyper-profile.
Right. Well,
and they be loving it. You know, they like McDonald's. They McLovin it, you know.
I just think that the red flag logs are the scariest of them, because they're the ones that sound the best to the people who really think, the people who love the phrase, we just have to do something. So they sound good. You just said that about the father. So you are a super pro gun guy, but you also like, man, I don't want a crazy person that I know who's crazy, who's walking around saying, man, if I could only get a gun, I want to shoot everybody in the room. Somebody give me a gun. I don't want that guy to have a gun. None of us do. So it sounds good. But at the same time, who's the gatekeeper? Who gets to say when somebody shouldn't have a gun? And it's not just stop. See, they're all thinking stopping people from buying guns. But you can use this for people who already have guns, right? So you already have your gun, you're living your life. Somebody can just call and then they'll just come and take them.
So they think, and they're gonna work that way over here. I'm just gonna keep it real with you. But we can evaluate New York. Right. New York just got the verdict last week, right? But before that, no one carried a gun. But there are shootings every day, right, which means they're violating every law on the book that exists right now.
Well, only if we only had another law, then they'd stop shooting. Right. That's just all we need, one more law.
Just one more. That's why I tell people, don't buzz, don't give them an inch. It is what it is. You're going to die of something. Okay? But again, we're not going to perish because we want to make somebody feel safe.
Right, exactly. My dog.
You don't be worried about that when you be picking that food in the grocery store that's unhealthy.
Right. Yeah, I want my kids to be very skilled and knowledgeable. And, you know, my daughter asked me, Mom, if someone breaks in, do I wait to see if they have a gun before I shoot? I said, no. If they break in, as soon as they cross the line, you shoot the shit out of them. Period. And we'll deal with the fallout if there is some afterwards. But no, you don't wait to see what they're going to do. You assume that when they turn the lock or break the window or whatever, that they have bad intentions. Because if they didn't, they wouldn't be there to start with. I don't care if they're looking for a TV.
You don't live here.
Right.
Right.
You so, earned the book. Wow. You earned the right. book. So Rhonda, before we go, why don't you leave us with some final bit of wisdom and tell everyone where they can find out more about Chicago Gunsman.
What I like to say to the American people is this: you are responsible for your own safety. Please do not depend on the government to protect you, because they will not be there. You may not get the opportunity to get to your little phone, call 911. At the end of the day, you are responsible for your own life and the life of your loved ones. You can catch me at Rhonda Ezell /Facebook. At MS_EZELL, Miss Ezell at Twitter. Our website is ChicagoGunsMatter.org. And you know, it is a blessing that we had three cases cited in that Supreme Court victory. They didn't tell you about those three Black lead plaintiffs. Cause see, they'll pick and choose when they want to use the blackness.
Yeah, McDonald's, you know, was black.
It makes
too.
Us feel good because we're fighting for the rights of all Americans, not That's just some.
Well, like the old adage say, it's not mine, but like they say, when seconds count, the police are minutes away. So if you don't protect yourself, no one else will. Well, Rhonda, it's been great speaking with you. Thank you for joining us. And thank you, and talk to you all next week.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me, and bring me back.
Yes, I enjoyed it. Thank you. Patriot J, I'm saving the day from you commies who let know you get for me. I got a country to say, God bless the US of A. Land of the free and a home of the brave. God get all of the praise. I got a country to say, because I'm Patriot J and I'm saving the day.